Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Knocked Conscious. Today, I spoke with Lee and Scott of off-stage.com apparel company. They're a music apparel company. It was a great conversation. Here it is. I hope you enjoy it. Welcome to Knocked Conscious, gentlemen.
Hello.
We have off-stage podcast. Tell me about this. Welcome, Scott, Lee, Scott. No alphabetical order, whatever, no particular order. How have you guys been?
We've been good. We've been busy since the last
time. Yeah, tell me about it.
Biggest thing is we've kind of split the podcast and our brand in half. So Offstage is the music apparel brand. So that's our whole shindig now. The podcast is just fun because we get to talk to people like you and a lot of musical artists and people in the industry and just talk about music, but our primary focus is definitely making music apparel more accessible.
That's awesome, man. I saw a little bit of the change in the website. So
yeah,
I'll put all your stuff up. So yeah. So tell me about this transition. How did you guys initially start with a concept, and then how did it change from where it started to where it's kind of morphed into?
It's funny because we were sitting down like a couple weeks ago and we needed to come up with a mission statement. And we thought like, oh, that'd be easy. Obviously, we're just doing, what do we do? And that's when we started thinking like, maybe we should really like, what do we do? What is Offstage? And then, I mean, we had been selling merch on the side, but it just seemed smarter to make that our main focus and then have the podcasts and all the social media stuff be sort of like a vessel, if you will. That's sort of what happened. And then we got inventory for the first time and Lee came down to Bloomington and we sold a bunch of stuff for the Eclipse. So that was super fun.
Very cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
So tell me about that. So basically Offstage, I know you've got a mascot and then you've got some other apparel as well. Tell me about what you sold down in Bloomington and what you made and what inventory you got.
So our main logo is a guy named Spin. You could see him on the website. Spin, he's a walking vinyl record, which is really cool. And then we have a lot of other characters that kind of play into our brand as well that are inspired by music or just, I don't know, fun things. Another one's Scratch. He's a chicken with a hat and his belly's a record, vinyl record.
Very cool.
The main thing was music apparel has we found a problem. You know, there's either t-shirts and hoodies, whatever, with album covers or solo album, you know, singles on them or whatever, but there's never. And then on the opposite end, there's like the band mom shirts, you know, or like my son plays violin shirts on Etsy. And there's nothing in between that's just cool, everyday, nice stuff to wear. So that's what we were trying to fill the gap with our.
Yeah. Characters. So kind of like you're thinking about, it's a way for a person in music to share that they're into music without it being like it has to be the Stones or it
doesn't have to be specific.
Yeah. It's just the music general.
Think about I've got a Grateful Dead shirt on today.
I could just tell the bear, I was like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah. It's my favorite band. And I saw a ton of people wearing Grateful Dead shirts at the Eclipse, actually. And every time I asked, like, what's your favorite song? They're like, who's Grateful Dead? You know, and if you're into music, you shouldn't have to. I mean, it's everybody's thing, whether you like the style that comes with music or the actual sound or the lyrics, singing, whatever. You should be able to enjoy music without being criticized on what you're wearing. I can't tell you how many times I've seen videos of people walking around and it's like, if you don't know one song by the band, you're a fake fan, you're a poser. It's like, whatever, you know, they're enjoying it. So.
Yeah, I like that because you guys come from different music. Like our music taste, right? So kind of it helps as an icebreaker. It's like, oh, I see a record on a shirt or I see a logo that looks familiar to something musical. It's like, oh, who are you into?
Yeah.
So it's more of a conversational starter versus like almost in a way a conversation ender, like, oh, you're into Zeppelin, or you know what I mean, or yeah, where, you know, people have different genres and different tastes.
Right.
That's cool. I like that. So how did you guys come into that, actually kind of morphing into that from, because it was a totally different thing just a couple months ago. It's kind of cool watching that change.
Well, Scott can definitely talk more about this. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, when you're starting a business or a brand or anything, change things early, do what works early. You get year, 3 years, 5 years down the line, it's way harder to rebrand. It's way harder to change things up. But I think we noticed that when we were selling in Bloomington. And Scott definitely noticed it more than me at first when we were trying to explain what we were doing. So I'll let him talk about that.
Are you talking about like when we were trying to like get people to come to our table?
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh. That was a train wreck. I wish we had video of that, because there was a good like 2 or 3 hours of like, when you're selling on the street, you gotta, you know, you gotta sell. You gotta get people to come over. Like,
you need that calling out and be like, hey, come on over to the booth.
I'm not gonna come over. We had a Darth Vader with our shirt on him, like a 3 foot tall Darth Vader.
Yeah,
even that's
cool.
Not enough to get people.
Right.
So you really gotta like speak out, and then we got a lot of, you know, a lot of people putting their head down or trying to avoid us, which I get that. But yeah, we'd get their attention sometimes. And then I think Lee once, he's like, we finally got someone's attention and we're like, yeah, we're off stage. And they're like, oh, what's that? And Lee's like, well, we do music. and the people were like,
we
oh,
music
as
people,
they were walking
thing,
away, like
go.
It was just a train wreck.
Some people thought we were a band. Some people thought we were.
Most people thought we were a band. Right. Which is cool, I guess. Bands are
awesome.
I
mean, the name sounds cool for a band name, like Offstage. Like, All right, cool.
But yeah, it was just basically multiple hours of us trying to figure out, like, I think
how to talk.
Yeah, at one point it kind of sounded like we were a label. Went through so many different identities that day, just trying to figure it out.
That's really cool, but though. And
we got our name out there.
Yeah, people are definitely going to remember it.
Yes.
Confused guys with the Darth Vader.
And we
very
got,
cool. Is,
we got
what sick. Is it, just offstage.com? Is that what the, what's the website address, just to say?
So it's off-staged.com.
Okay, off-staged.com. Cool.
Yeah.
And I'll put it up again for you.
Yeah, we're working
that's really
on
cool.
And Google. That's hard. Have you ever dealt with SEOs, search engines?
I wish I did, because I have the content. I don't have the searches.
Yeah.
So like if I figured that out in any way, I'm sure something would be better with this thing than what I've got going, to be
That's
honest.
What we're trying to figure out. It is
hard.
Yeah.
Puzzle. I know people who do it, and they charge a premium, and I know why they charge a premium for it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. So I've never gotten in that. What have you learned about it so far, and when can I hire you guys to do mine?
I think
you're gonna be like, you're gonna be a t-shirt apparel, you're gonna be a music apparel / IT consulting company.
Actually, you know what?
At the eclipse,
we had a couple people that came up to us on the side and they were like, hey, I run my own brand, I run my own company doing this or that or whatever. You guys seem to have the content down, or like the technical skills at least. Can I hire you to run my social media or my website? And we were like, oh, geez, we really screwed up at this point, because that is not what we do.
No.
Yeah, I know.
But what we've learned, that everything you do is 10 times harder than you assume it is.
Yeah.
And the technical skills take a lot of work. I think that's a big thing, too. We use Squarespace. Do you have a website?
I do, but it's not. It's just a redirect to my Podbean. I don't have a website, but I do have a landing page, you know, like notconscious.com or whatever.
Yes.
But
yes,
tell me about Squarespace, man. Tell me about it. Yeah.
It's very intuitive, very user-friendly, easy to find what you need, the basics and stuff. But it's definitely like, I mean, building a website, you're going to have code. You have to know how to use that a little bit. And that's, we got through the surface level of things like, homepage buttons and shopping carts and payments and all that, shipping, mailing lists, all that. But yeah, then you dig into the code and it's like, I don't know. You have to connect.
Overwhelming.
Yes. Scott and I just started this like, what, a week and a half ago. He found a really good free page. What was it called, Scott?
Oh, he's frozen.
He is frozen. That's kind of scary.
That's kind of funny. All right. So anyway, we'll get back to Scott when he zooms back in here, I think.
Yeah. So Scott found a free SEO page that teaches you how to optimize your website for people to find it. And it's literally like, it goes all the way down to how you name your files on your website.
Wow.
So like, say you wanted to take your Knocked Conscious logo.
Welcome
there
back.
There he is.
Sorry about that.
No, no worries, man. Lee was just explaining a little bit about the SEO and how challenging it is. So,
oh, that'll take a while.
Yeah. So I was talking about how if you want to take your Knocked Conscious logo, for instance, and it's a file, right? If you just throw it on your website, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to optimize your website at all to get clicks or get seen. So what you have to do is you take that and you rename the file with optimized keywords based around what you do. So, and that's another thing. You can't be too broad because then you'll be in the big pack on Google and you're never going to get seen. But you can't be too specific because then nobody's searching for it. So Knocked Conscious, podcast, these are like keywords that you could use, right? Podcast is going to be way too broad, but Knocked Conscious might be too specific. So you have to go in and find something that determines who you are and what you are. And then you need to narrow it down to about three words. And then you name every single file on your website like that. And it might boost your click possibility by like.
Right. Yeah. The click through rate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with all the terms. I'm just not good at actually doing. I don't have the skills to optimize. So, mm-hmm. Well, hopefully I'll have to bend you guys here then sometime to do that. So
we're learning.
You're going to have an IT company before you know it. You just didn't know yet. It's like Geek
Honestly,
Squad 2.0.
A month from now, who knows? It could be the exactly. next step.
So did you guys have an eclipse party? Did you guys have the full eclipse or something near you or?
Yeah, the total eclipse came through Bloomington.
You had the total. All right. Yes. So were you guys out for that or?
Oh yeah.
Yes. We got to see it and everyone in the world was there seemingly. It was pretty like it was like a movie. I had to move my car because I'm not sure.
You went to get sunscreen because we didn't expect it to be hot.
Yeah. I burned super easy. It's so I had to go get sunscreen. And this was like T-minus 10 minutes to the eclipse. So I'm thinking like, I'll probably be fine. And then I quickly drove home, grabbed some sunscreen, drove back. And the spot I had, which I thought was perfect, I guess everyone else thought it was perfect as well because it was some guy was pulling into it just as I got back. So I'm like, shit. I go to the parking garage. The guy in front's like, look, man, I don't think I'm allowed to let you in here. And like the sky's getting darker and darker. And I'm like, please let me in. I'll be in and out. I just got to park real quick and go see my friend. He's like, all right, come in. So I parked really quick, ran outside, took my sunglasses off because I couldn't see anything. I mean, it's almost pitch black at that point. And just walking down the street that's usually like filled with people like running back or like walking back and forth. Everyone's just stopped and staring up at the sky. And it was surreal. I mean,
it really
like,
was.
It sounds dumb because it's just going dark for a little bit, but it's I don't know. It was weird.
It was like comfortably eerie, if that makes sense. Have you ever listened to Dark Side of the Moon, Pink Floyd's album?
Yeah, for sure.
That is how it felt, at least in my opinion. I was also a little biased because I was listening to
Eclipse
by Pink Floyd.
That'll do it.
I don't know.
So it was a good time though. Good crowd, good people, and
it was awesome.
I love
yeah.
that.
Cool. Have you ever seen the movie Asteroid City?
Did animals come out? Did any nocturnal animals come out for a little bit or anything change for... They said some weird stuff might happen with some like night creatures and stuff. They might come out.
You know what? I had a ton of bugs that like fell out of the tree on me. Did you have that happen, Scott?
I think that was just you. Or maybe they hit you first because you're like a foot taller than me.
The umbrella.
But that was about it. We were in a city setting, so...
Okay, not too bad. I heard some really cool things. So I didn't get to see this one, but it is a pretty surreal experience when you just absolutely everything getting just dimmer and dimmer and then pitch black.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Have you ever seen Asteroid City, the movie?
I did watch that, yeah.
So you know when the alien comes down from like the ladder and everybody's sitting around watching the asteroid and then comes down, picks it up and leaves?
Oh, yeah.
They were in Indianapolis and Bloomington. They were selling tickets to all of the stadiums that were outside for people to watch the eclipse. And I was just like, this is... And if you remember Asteroid City, it's a very strange... It's peculiar.
Yeah, it's one of those movies. Just like, was it Moonrise Kingdom, right? Same guy?
Yeah.
Royal Tenenbaums too, right? Isn't this same?
Yeah, I think so.
Wes Anderson? Is it? I think it's Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
I think so, but the Twitter world would correct us. So.
There you go. Perfect. But I thought it was just like a mirror image almost. We were all just sitting in stadiums or like pausing exactly what we were doing during the day and watch this moon go in front of a star, just like this alien comes down and grabs an asteroid in Asteroid City. So,
yeah, exactly. It's crazy, right?
Cool. Yeah,
it is really neat. So it's funny you talked about pivoting earlier, right? You talked about doing it early. So it's a funny story. My girlfriend and I are going to see Smokey Robinson next week.
Okay.
So like, you know, you get that one of those bucket list type things. Like I saw Wayne Newton in Vegas, but I saw him like real late. I didn't get to see him when he was like super spry. You know, he's older.
Yeah.
So it was like, it wasn't the best experience compared to what he used to be, right?
Right.
But it's like, I can't say no, right? So Smokey's going to be at the Venetian, I think. So I kind of beg my girlfriend. I'm like, we got to go see Smokey. And there's this documentary called Hitsville USA. And Smokey Robinson wrote the song Shop Around. And to your point, Shop Around had been on the charts for like 5 weeks. And all of a sudden, the middle of the night, Barry Gordy calls up Smokey at like 2 a.m., 3 in the morning. He's like, hey, Smoke, it's Barry. You got to come. We got to change Shop Around. It's not working. I got in my head. He's like, all right, cool. I'll see you in the morning. He goes, no, we got to come back now. They end up going down the studio right away. They call up everybody. They end up re-recording it. And the new one is the one that makes it. It's just that extra oomph, you know? So Dang. It's like, it's funny how even though the song was already out and gaining traction, they still changed the song, which is such a rarity. You usually don't change a song.
Right.
Once you've released it, but yeah, to your point, it's kind of like you do it early.
Right.
So what kind of successes have you had with that? Like what kind of other conversations have you had with it or what has this led to for you guys?
Oh, what do we have, Scott? We got interviews coming out every single week now.
Nice.
Till like the end of May. And they've already been recorded, all of them, and edited. So we're just pushing them out when the artist is pushing out their music most of the time.
Oh, very cool.
It worked well like that.
Yeah. So is it like when they release a new thing, you just have that podcast to go along with it, kind of couple along with it, or?
Yeah, I don't know how it worked out, but it worked out just like that. It wasn't planned much. We have a couple other podcasts talking about Daft Punk and Beyonce is going to be this week. As a tease, but yeah, and you know what? Daft Punk actually did really well, which we were kind of surprised about. I think it's just because they're, you know, split and they might come back together for Tron and all that kind of stuff. That was fun to talk about.
Yeah.
What else we got, Scott?
Daft Punk's pretty cool because, like, yeah, they talk about splitting, right, and then coming back together. But, like, they've got this weird following that it's like no one follows them, but everybody follows them or listens to them or something.
Yeah.
It's a very weird thing.
They know about them in some way or some capacity.
Yeah, I think the Pharrell Get Funky really put them on the map. I mean, it's just like such a just rhythmic song that everybody's got.
Uh-huh.
Get Lucky, is it? Get Lucky? Yeah. Get Funky? Something like that? Yeah.
Get Lucky. So. Get Lucky.
Yeah.
And their helmets, you know, it makes them so elusive.
Yeah, it's really cool. And like, they're still, aren't they still not, do we know who they are? Did they take them off or something at some point? Or?
Yes, I think we do know their identities. Okay. We should probably know this with how we covered them. We talked more about their, pretty strictly about the music they've been in rather than who they are as a band.
Okay.
And like, I don't know if you've seen Tron Legacy, but that's one of my favorite movies. And I, love
Tron is my favorite movie of all times, my friend.
Which one? Wow. Tron Legacy or the original?
I know I have both of them on Blu-ray, so I watched them. I mean, the first one would be just as good if the technology was the same.
True.
But yeah, Legacy is just absolutely gorgeous.
It looks like so stunning. Nice.
Are you ready for the next one?
I hope so. What's it called? You already know the name Ultimatum or something?
Think it is Ultimatum.
Something like that. Some other.
And yeah, so supposedly Daft Punk's supposed to come back for it.
Oh, very cool. Okay. Yeah that's when that was in the bar, right?
Yes.
Where they were playing, they had a big fight, whatever the fight scene, and they're just...
Yeah, they're just sitting up there while they're fighting.
Yeah.
And they got blown up.
Man, that's such a beautiful... God, it's such a pretty... I can't explain how beautiful that movie is.
It really is.
And the lead woman in that, she was also in that Timberlake movie, right? In Time. I think she was like the lead woman in that.
I don't think I've seen that, but
that was a pretty good movie.
She is a prominent actor or actress.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously Jeff Bridges and it's always good. So are you guys into like Big Lebowski and stuff? Or obviously you're younger, so I grew up with that. But I didn't get into it as much as a lot of people that I knew got into it.
I am not a Big Lebowski fan. I've never really tried it out.
Okay. But Jeff Bridges kind of is a weird way Bridges gap like of generations.
True.
So you know him from Legacy. What other things would you say like Bridges is like big in your generation?
I think didn't he play The Giver in The Giver? Have you seen The Giver, the movie?
I've not seen that, no. No, I've not seen that.
I read the book. I never saw it.
Yeah, it was a book we all had to read. I don't know if it's across the country, but Indiana for sure. That everybody reads is like an eighth grader or something. And, oh man, that's another... It's a movie kind of like Asteroid City or a book. Where it's just peculiar, but it's more of a dystopian / utopian world where everything's confined and... One person in the community has to hold all the pain from humans' past history.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds intense. When did that come out? I'm going to have to look into that movie. I'm going to have to look into that.
The book came out a while ago, probably like before 2000. And the movie came out in like 2015.
Oh, okay.
I love the book.
Yeah.
It was a very good book.
Yes.
I just got into The Three Body Problem.
What's
that? The one on Netflix. It's the one where it's a sci-fi book. I think it was written in China. Somebody in Asia wrote it, and it's been translated now into English. And now it's like a sci-fi thriller where there's another world, but they're coming here because we sent a signal out. And it talks about their world. And the Three Body Problem is they have three sons, and they can't predict like their revolution, how they revolve around each other, because you can't do that. Mm, so
really,
the civilization would either be destroyed or frozen or get burned up, or it would be just all different kinds of cataclysmic events, depending on if it had three suns in the sky or none or one, you know, kind of thing. So it's kind of interesting. It's on Netflix, but it is a little bit more about coming here. So it's kind of an interesting like invasion kind of movie. So. Cool, man. So how are you guys like in school? How's everything going with you with that?
Well, I mean, you're in Arizona, right? So
yeah.
March Madness was just there. Did you visit the city? Did you visit Phoenix at all? Check out the events?
Yes, we had date night that Friday. And we had everything planned. And I talked to you about my psychic stuff, right?
Yes. Yes.
Crazy story. So Friday night. Friday night, like we do like early date night so we can get like happy hour drinks and then go out or something. So we've got the whole night planned. We know that the Suns are in town. We know that it's March Madness, but there actually was a music festival too. So there was even more stuff there than crazy. So
wow,
we leave the house at like 4:15, 4:30, something like that. So we're planning to get to our place by like 5:30. So, you know, after parking and walking, whatever. So we get there like 4:45, 5:00. We're looking and there is not a spot. And I'm like, we didn't know it was going to be this crazy because it's hardly ever this crazy. Sometimes it's busy, but it's hardly ever this crazy. So we start driving around. So we are like in central Phoenix and we're driving around for about a half hour. I'm like, you know what? Let's just go uptown. Uptown is like a section that's just north of us and like a little bit over. So, you don't have to know exactly where it's at, but it's like, let's get out of this area and go to this other area. So we go to another area. We get there, happy hour till 7. We're like, sweet, it's only 5:30. So we start happy hour. We get a drink. We're like, hey, let's go book a reservation right down the street for 6:30. So my girlfriend puts it in. We're like, okay, we walk. We stayed parked at the bar. We walk down. They're like, we don't have a reservation for you. Like, no, we put it in. And my girlfriend's looking at it. She's like, I didn't hit enter. I'm like,
oh,
okay. That sucks. So now it's like, so we start, it's like 4:30, right? So now it's like 6:30 and like, we haven't done anything and we've planned everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we go, let's just go back to the bar. We'll hit another drink before 7:00 happy hour ends. Right. So we go back to the bar. So like, think about the places we've gone, the time we've taken now. So we get there, we get another drink and we look at each other. She's like, let's just go home. Let's just go home. Let's like call it a night. This just obviously didn't work out. I'm like, all right, we'll just, you know, pick up something on the way home or whatever. So we go to head home and I'm going to make a left and something pops into my head to make a right. Of course it does. Right. So I turn right. So we're on a street where on the way home, there's a restaurant that my girlfriend really likes, but I don't say anything to her. It pops into my head to go to this place. I have to go to this exact place. There's like 15 restaurants in that area. We go to all these different ones, but something tells me to go to this one, right? So I'm like, cool. I go up, I turn left. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I didn't mention it to you, but we're going to go to this bar. We go in and my buddy is sitting with his wife. And this is a guy who I met through a psychic connection, through an empath meeting. So I drove all through the city of Phoenix, went to like 10 different places. And the timing and all the stuff. And I still end up exactly meeting up with this dude that I hadn't seen in like 3 years. And it was all like pops into my head to go there. Can't explain it. Weirdest thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. So the night was ruined, but it was a fun ending of the story. What's that?
Did you guys end up staying, having a good dinner?
We did, but they didn't know I was there. Cause like, I haven't talked to him in a while. So but
that makes sense.
Down on the down low. Yeah. It was like weird. Cause I walked in and I'm like, crap, that's why I was told to come here. It's like one of those weird ones. So I was like, I wasn't sure. But he's a good dude. It's just like we hadn't talked in a while. You know, it's kind of like
that'd be hard to explain.
It's kind of fall. Yeah, they kind of fall away over time, you know. But it was kind of funny. It was kind of like, oh, I guess I had to just see him to make sure everything was good, you know, kind of thing. But once again, it's one of those weird things how it just kind of organically unfolded and still ended up with people that, you know, that we knew.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, but to that end, it was pretty fun. Do you guys follow the March Madness stuff?
Yeah, Purdue made it to Final Two of the championship. It was hard game. I think we were a little scared going in.
UConn was destined to win. Like, they
definitely were. I mean, it's kind of like, Scott will get this reference, but like Carmel winning every single state for swimming.
Yes.
We used to both swim in Carmel, if you're familiar with Carmel, Indiana. They have won for like what, 38 years now, Scott?
Oh, geez.
In a row. Yeah.
In a row. Yeah.
And so bad.
There's something about, and maybe we could talk about this. There's something about the winning mindset where you do it enough, where it goes and it keeps going and it does not stop. And you got to get comfortable in that mindset. And I think you get like Purdue, for instance, we haven't been to the Final Four even since the 50s or 60s. So you're not, you know, if a team goes in like that, they're not comfortable. They need to do it a few times before they actually it's either you get lucky or you get good at being in that mindset. I don't know. I fully believe that if you get into winning mindset, you can keep on that track. I'd be really curious to see when, like, for instance, Carmel Swimming's got, if they lost one year, how would they come back from that? You know, because they're in that winning mindset and then something throws them off. Do they come back?
I think they'd fire the coach immediately. I mean, just the expectations so high at this point that, yeah, they would just might kill the coach even, honestly.
It's an interesting look. Well, it's funny because you look at like a Ronda Rousey, right? Like a UFC, and she was dominant until somebody beat her.
Right.
Second somebody beat her, it wasn't necessarily that she didn't feel like she could win, but other people started believing they could beat her.
Okay.
So it was like almost like a double, it's like a double cultural thing. To your point, like you can ride the momentum of success, right? You can win and win and win, and that does become a cultural thing. And you can lose here and there, you know, bits, as long as the momentum swing is still that winning, right? But sometimes when you lose that, it's like a hiccup, and that momentum goes away. Gaining that back is really hard.
It's kind of like, oh my gosh, I just blanked on his name. You know, the guy that conquered like most of the Middle East and
Khan or Alexander the Great?
Alexander the Great, yes. You know, he went so long and so hard, and then eventually he came to it one stop, and he was not able to overcome it or set it on the other end. Maybe that's just human demise. But then you look at like Napoleon. He got exiled twice and still managed to take over his own country twice. Well, after.
Look at Chamberlain. Was it Chamberlain? It's World War II, right? Yes, not Chamberlain. The guy after Chamberlain. The darkest hour guy. Yeah, Churchill. Thank you. Okay. Jesus. Yeah, Churchill. So I don't know if you guys know this, but he was like a general, or he was like some command of some army thing.
He was the prime minister of Europe, or of England.
Of England, yeah. But in World War One, though, he was in charge of an army thing, and it was about going through that strait where Italy meets. If you look, it's like a bottleneck. And they had to commit like 70,000 troops. And it was like, you're either going to all die or you might get through. And if you get through, it's like all risk, all reward kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he made that decision. And like tens of thousands of British soldiers died. And he got fired. And he ended up becoming the prime minister again. I have no idea how he recaptured his after that one. Because like in a democracy, when you lose something like that, you usually don't gain that kind of back. You usually kind of get put ostracized, but somehow he was able to stay in it.
You know, this is something I just watched on Rogan. Have you guys seen Hitler's speeches in English yet? Scott, have you seen those?
No, I don't typically watch them.
I know. Well, I never would choose to normally, but Rogan was covering it, and I was like, oh, that's really weird to see that, because he was talking about how, you know, Germany had been in economic collapse, and he had sacrificed a lot to help the German people, so elect him to help him out, right? I was like, that's something that somebody is doing right now in our country that seems very, very real. It's weird how that repeats. And when you watch it in your own native language, it's even, I don't know, just kind of weird to see.
So my grandfather was a Nazi soldier.
Okay.
So my grandfather fought in World War II on the German side. His family, my grandfather, my mother's side, became East Germany. So they served under Hitler, and then they served under Stalin.
Yeah.
And then they escaped East Germany in 1953 before the wall went up, and then they got to America. So like, literally, my parents served under Hitler, Stalin, and like Eisenhower. maybe after Eisenhower. It might have been right before Kennedy. So between Eisenhower and Kennedy, unless Eisenhower did go up to Kennedy. I'd have to look at the timeline. But yeah, so like
Truman, maybe?
Yeah, I get. Yeah, exactly. So I get what you're saying, right? So it's interesting. And to your point, right, you're equating this to a Trumpian kind of thing, right? Yeah. Trump doesn't scare me. The guy, there's a guy behind Trump right now that's in the shadows that we don't know yet. They haven't made themselves aware, but they are riding the Trump wave. They're right under him, right behind him, and they're quiet. I don't know who it is yet, but it's that person. Because, like, okay. Trump's only got 4 more years. There's nothing you could do constitutionally. Like, the thing about January 6th, this thing, it's all, I can go over this because I actually do like political breakdowns and stuff. And I'd love to talk about this. Maybe we can make this a podcast someday. But like, about this is, this guy is being persecuted ridiculously. They're going to capitalize on it, but it's the guy behind him that's going to really gin up the people, the army, that's like the MAGA people. They're just as blind and, you know, ferocious and like rabid as the pinko lefty commies, right? I mean, it's the same. Yeah. It's the same energy, just pointed in a different direction, right? With a different.
You're right. You're right.
Trump's not dangerous. Trump is going to be pissed off, but he's not dangerous. The guy behind him is. There's somebody there.
The machine behind it. Maybe it's not right. One guy either. It could be
right. And Hitler. I mean, Hitler. Trump isn't like doesn't have the ideology of the way he can't use the government the way that Hitler used the government, because Hitler got a coalition and there's a whole other way they set up their government. But remember, they had a 1 in 3 unemployment. I mean, it's bad and it does parallel a lot of those things. But I'm much more concerned about whoever Trump like deems as his successor or whoever fills that role. And my concern is that it's like Vivek. Where I like Vivek, but he's smart. But I feel like he could get power, could get to his head, I think. And I think he can get to anybody's. And when you're smart and then you get some power behind you, you're dangerous. And I like the guy. I think the possibility of a corruption's there, you know, the mental power part.
Yeah.
So what are you guys' thoughts on it? Because you brought it up.
I think the machine is broken, or maybe not broken, but
the people working the machine.
Yeah, it's just, and people, there's so many things. People are so fed up of it that they don't want to take accountability. And then on top of that, when that happens, people become complacent. I mean, we talk about the government, right? It's not the government. It's our government. It's ours. We created it. We control it. We put the people we want in power. And people don't like to hear that sometimes. And my opinion is that inevitably we have to be responsible. And I don't know. That's about the extent that I think of it. And I mean, people see that people are becoming complacent, and then that's where the power comes in. Yeah. They utilize the complacency to get where they want to go.
Yeah, and narcissists and psychopaths find a real simple way. They wedge in there. Because, like, politics is just allowed a certain type of mentality to really take over. Because we're busy working, so we're busy making the bills, paying the bills, and there's a type of mindset that goes, I can take advantage of this. I'll take advantage of your distraction to benefit myself and my family or whatever.
Yeah.
I see that. And it's unfortunately kind of come to that point where it seems like the corporations have kind of owned everything. And the system isn't working the way it should be, but I don't think the people are working the system the way it should be either. It's almost like, how do you blame the field for the crops not growing right? You know what I mean? Like, somebody has to till the thing. Somebody has to seed it and water it and...
Yeah.
Tend to it, right? And get rid of all the vermin and all that stuff. So to your point, it is on us to do a better job on that.
What are
your thoughts, Scott? Any thoughts, Scott? Try to stay out of it.
No, I've got thoughts. It sucks. I think everyone's got their own motivations. And it's, as far as politicians go, for example, I feel like once a politician's getting started, for the most part, they usually have pretty good, maybe not good motives, but like what they believe is what they're fighting for. And right. then the only way that they're able to stay in power, to stay in their position, is if they start listening to the people that are willing to pay them a little bit more and sponsor them a little bit more. And then it's just, it spirals out of control, and it just, it stinks. It really does. And there's not much you can do about it either. Like, are you going to put like a cap on how much money different people can sponsor different politicians? It's
right.
That's what I've always thought. It's like,
I've always thought of just taking the money out of it. Like no commercials allowed, nothing, no commercials, no political commercials. Person wants to have a podcast or do something and promote themselves, that's fine, but nothing, no funded commercials on any.
Yeah. On any waves. Something, I mean, people definitely need to see and hear what's going on, but you gotta, like right now, if one of us were to run against any candidate, we would need millions of endorsements and dollars in endorsements. And that's just something that, you know, you go back 150, 200 years ago, and people did have the ability to truly be at the lowest class of society and manage to
more influential, right?
Run. Yeah. Even if it wasn't as equitable in terms of race and gender, it was equitable in a social and, or not social, an economical manner. And I think nowadays it's flipped to anybody can be in power, but the economics are at the center of that. And then you can dive into anything, like how does the economy hold down different social groups, but I don't know.
Right.
Scott's right. That's a good point. Sucks.
Yeah, it is kind of the point. It's funny because like it's politics has become very national. Like the House of Representatives is really your local representative, but it's become such a federally nationalized, like the eyes of the nation are on you because of television and the way it's broadcast. So Marjorie Taylor Greene matters to me. Why? Like, help me understand that. Like, she shouldn't have that influence, nor should Nancy Pelosi. She should only be influential in her district and represent her district. But it's gotten so national that they glum them all together, and it's like little corporations working against each other.
Yeah. And truly.
Yeah, it's an interesting.
I've thought about it before, and truly we don't feel the effects too much of federal changes. I mean, so I've worked in our local state government, Indiana state government, a handful of times throughout high school and college, and you know, different lobbying and calling agencies, stuff like that. And that's where it really changes, and you see matters get taken into the people's hands, which I think is really, really cool. We had
a lot of people underestimate the power, like school boards and the local.
Oh my gosh. Scott and I were just talking about this in Brownsburg, yeah. Our hometown, how the school board, actually, you've probably heard, have you heard of Brownsburg? In the news?
I can't. It sounds familiar, but I don't want to act like I know something I don't. So please educate me.
We had one of the biggest national, I don't know what to call it, maybe a scandal, with special education classrooms.
And how
aides and teachers were treating special education students versus students in a normal classroom. And I mean, it was really bad, and it spread beyond just one person, and many people were fired. Some went to prison.
Oh, wow. So it was like abuse and all that kind of stuff.
Essentially, one of the kids was at lunch, actually my old elementary school, and he was choking and threw up, and one of the aides forced the kid to eat his own vomit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And then on top of that, you have teachers around the cafeteria that are videotaping, because, you know, that's what everybody does now. You go to every big problem in the world. Like, look at no matter your opinion on George Floyd case, people whipped out their phones before they went to help somebody, you know? And that's same
thing. There was a woman in Philadelphia on a train getting raped.
And they
were just recording it. No one stepped in and ended up getting like a train guy, like two trains down, who was like a security guy, you know, one of the, you know, conductor type people or whatever, to come up and get it. It's like, are you kidding me? It doesn't even compute. It makes no sense.
And so essentially, you know, you have that, say 10 employees that videotape this one that's actually acting on the student, and then that gets spread and spread and spread. So now you have like 70 employees that are considered, maybe not, I don't even know what the charges were technically, but an accomplice or a bystander. Right. And it was bad. It was bad to see. Now the whole school board has changed.
Right.
The superintendent had to step down. Our old high school, the administrators have changed.
It makes you wonder if, like, was that an effect of some overall kind of, you're saying, like the dissolution of things, right? Everything devolving over time, just people not staying accountable and everything. Or was this like an incident thing? It seems like obviously it's a chronic thing. It got to this level where it got exposed, but you know, it could have been a one-off too, but it's like, wow.
I don't know. It's weird to think that the aide that committed the crime used to aid in one of my classrooms. So just
really
just weird to think about. And then like, I used to be best buddies with a lot of the kids, at least in my year, and would be in those classrooms. It's just weird to think, I wonder what was happening when I was a kid and how I was being treated compared to them. And that it's very sad.
Yeah. It kind of makes me feel a weird guilt, and then you had nothing to do with it. Right. So like, how did I get so lucky? Right.
More so. Yeah. Like that kind of guilt. And also just, and maybe, I don't know how you feel about this, Scott, but we went to Brownsburg, and it makes the good people in Brownsburg tarnished, if that makes sense.
Forever. Just because of a few.
Oh, so it's like the bad apple ruins the bunch, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
You know, that tarnished reputation or whatever.
Yeah. That's Brownsburg for you now.
Brownsburg's got good qualities, but that.
Well, my girlfriend works in communication delay, so she works with special needs children.
Oh, gotcha. Cool.
Yeah, so I'll definitely have to look that up. Brownsburg, you said, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got some other time. Time is all yours, gentlemen. What, anything you guys want to share, talk about, or?
I'm kind of curious. So I've been learning guitar, and Scott has his reasons for not learning it, and I want to know more about that.
Yeah. Okay. Scott, hold on. Last time we spoke, Scott was the one a little bit more on the guitar, if I recall correctly. Okay. All right. So now it's flipped. The script has.
And
flipped.
You know, Scott and I work together and all that, and we're also good. Best friends, but he's at IU and I'm at Purdue, so it's hard to hear like why aren't you playing anymore? What happened there?
Okay, so a guitar has strings on it, and one of the strings, I'm not good at guitar, don't know what it's called, the little one, the really small one,
the thin one,
yes, if you will, it I needed to tune it because actually no, it snapped entirely. That's right. It didn't snap. Sorry. It was too tight, and I kept tightening it, and then it was my fault. I broke the string. So
Did it smack you in the face or anything?
No, but I did end up cutting it so I could take it off entirely, and I've stepped on the little pieces, which are painful.
Wow.
But yeah, my dad heard about it because I was brought it up, and like the next second, we got a knock at the door, and we got a package for just a bunch of replacement strings, because my dad plays guitar, and he's got really stubby fingers, and he's always pissed off at me because he's like, you got these long ass fingers and all you do is play on your damn computer. So yeah,
well, I got keyboard fingers too.
Exactly. It's a useful skill, or useful trait, but yeah, he got me the strings, and then I was like, yeah, I'll get around to it. And then that weekend, he's like, I'm just going to come down to Bloomington and fix them for you. So before I could say no, there's a knock at the door. My dad was here, and he's like, it'll be real quick. I don't need a YouTube video or anything. as most dads are. They take pride in their ability to screw things up without a video. So, yeah, it took him about 5 minutes, and he's like, oh, yeah, that's on too tight. why don't you figure it out on your own time? And so, yes, long story short, there is another, like, all strings are on there, and to an untrained ear, I guess it probably sounds all right, but I don't have a trained ear, and it's pretty bad. That's my excuse.
Tuning's a problem.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. Is there a chance you can tune it back or no?
Well, he cut it too short.
Oh, so, okay. So the string is just too short.
Yeah. Well. And I do have another replacement string. I guess I could.
I thought you always cut it after you put it, after you string it, don't you? Don't you string it and then like cut the excess off?
He strung it, cut the excess off, and then he's like, I can make it a little tighter. And I didn't even question it. And here we are.
I'll do it.
I'll do it.
So now, Lee, you're back. You're now into the guitar.
Yeah, I've always had a guitar, and my dad has always had an acoustic guitar, and I was like, usually I didn't want to play my guitar up at school because I have a roommate, and to get the amp out and play it, it's just kind of disrespectful of his space as well, unless he's, you know, at class or something. So I was actually on the eclipse weekend on my way home. I grabbed my dad's acoustic guitar, brought it up, and I started playing around with it. And then my fiance has a ukulele, so that's even quieter. Very cool. And like easier to fiddle with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I started messing around with like finger dexterity and working on chords without even playing or strumming or anything. And then I decided, all right, I'm just going to whip out my amp. And sorry, roommate, which I think he's totally fine with it. And it is so much easier to learn on electric guitar.
I don't know why.
But
it's
that
strings.
Like, sparked my...
The strings are like still like half the thickness, yeah.
So
yeah, because the sound that you have to get the richness on an acoustic, it has to be a thicker, heavier gauge.
Yeah, on the fingers always hurt worse on acoustic.
Oh. Yeah, it's the thickness of it. You can like, if you just look at them, just look at the thickest one and the thickest electric, and you're like, it's a pretty big difference between those two. Yeah, it's like the nylon strings on a you know, Spanish guitar or something, like a classical.
Yes.
They're just different. Right. You know, it's a different pushing. And
huh.
Yeah, so if you can play an acoustic, you can play an electric, no problem. Usually people do struggle going from electric to acoustic because of that. Not struggle, but you know what I mean? Like the fingering, just keeping the finger strength.
Pain. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've developed really good calluses. and what I do now is I practice on the acoustic. And then I'll play on the electric when I want.
Very cool.
And then, I mean, there's so many other things. Like, I love a lot of the 70s, 60s, 70s, 80s rock, alternative rock. I don't know. Whatever genre it falls into. But I'm learning a lot of George Harrison songs. And
oh, okay.
Got to learn how to use a capo and, like, all the Beatles stuff. They decide to tune down the guitars, like, two steps. So you have to break your guitar and then.
Yeah. And then a lot of songs have a tuned down D, just the D's a drop down D.
Yeah.
Rage Against the Machine has a drop down D. I think Tonic does a lot of drop down D stuff, and they're good like acoustic stuff. So,
It's been really fun though.
Very cool.
I used to play piano all the time.
Oh, wow. And
I used to play alto sax as well. And it's really hard to alto sax probably could have brought up to Purdue pretty easily, but I'm not just going to bring a piano up here. So guitar is awesome just to have and screw around and play music with. So I'm enjoying
it's
that. I want to get lessons.
All right, that's the next step then. Yeah. So you're gonna sell some more T-shirts and get some pay for those lessons.
Yeah,
that's the goal.
All right. So what kind of apparel do you guys have currently? What do you have? T-shirts, hoodies. What do you have out there?
I can. Am I able to share my screen?
You might be able to.
Let me give that a shot. I can show you the website.
Yeah, feel free. Yeah, I'd love to see it.
It looks pretty dope.
I think it's in the top right corner under view. I think. Oh, is there a share screen bottom right corner? There it is.
There we go. Can you guys see
there
it?
There it is.
Yeah. Awesome. So this is, yeah, this is our website, Offstage. So one of the coolest things, we started to use AI generated art, which is a touchy subject for a lot of people right now. But this background right here, I typed up a whole prompt, wrote like a little narrative, 500 words, and threw it in here, and it created this for us.
That is really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's, can you believe that a computer just makes that?
No.
It looks like a real image.
It really does. It looks like just like a filtered, you know, Instagram shot picture or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So we got that. And then this is our mission statement here. Pretty
basic. I like it. Yeah, totally. I love the concept because, like you said, to your point, is like, so you're wearing this, I don't want to say generic, but it's more of a broader musical interest, which really opens the door for the conversation.
Yes. I like that. We're going to have to use that.
Welcome to it. I'll do all your promo stuff after.
Yes. There we go. Perfect. So here's our shop. So we've filtered a lot of shirts in and out now. These are what we have currently. So we did this for Little 500. So it's a bike race at IU. It's Scott School. So that's that's our character right there. Spin.
Yeah, that's Spin, right?
Yep. Pretty, I don't know, just feel like nobody else has something like that.
No, it's a totally cool thing because like people can relate to it for sure.
Yeah. And then that's the front. We kind of went for the streetwear music idea. Streetwear
like
popular
it.
Right now.
Yeah, I can see the writing on it has that kind of like vibe to it.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Like a, I don't want to tagging kind of, almost like tagging. Urban
yes,
kind of
yes.
Like.
That was, if you look at our logo up there on top, Offstage, that's a graffiti tag. So
exactly.
That's where that inspiration came from.
Very cool.
And then we just made one for Grand Prix, which is a car race at Purdue. That all
it's
the
like a ripoff, a knockoff Little 500, I believe.
Except we use real machines.
Did you ever see like the 24 Hour of Le Mans instead of Le Mans?
Yes. Yes.
Such an awesome thing. Where it's, I think you can call your car has to be below either like $2,000 or $500, some ridiculously low number.
I think it's 500.
I think it's 500 too. And then you can add all the pieces to it, but the car itself has to be like 500. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. One of my favorite YouTubers, Chris Fix. Do you watch car YouTube?
Okay.
He built a like $500 lemon BMW into a 24 hour car.
Very cool. I love that. I saw one where they did a Corvair. There was one that did like a, they made like a front wheel. I think they did like an, was it a V8 Corvair that they put in the back? It's some crazy thing.
Wow.
They just totally just did something different.
That's crazy.
So anyway,
I love
cars. That's really cool, man. That shirt's nice too.
Yeah. That's the Grand Prix one. And then this is the music box tee. This one will probably stay
cool.
Around.
I
like this one. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's that logo. Like, that could be a secondary logo, the phonograph.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, very nice, man. Awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. Then we got our About Us. So, yeah, definitely check it out. This is from a, this picture's from a disco party.
I saw
party.
That picture.
Yeah.
It's from what party?
A disco party that Scott had. So, we took advantage of that for our.
We had to.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah,
I like it.
There you go.
That's awesome, man.
Like an unsure. There we go. Yeah, thanks
for
letting
us
show
it.
Because it's definitely a lot of work that we like Scott and I, just this morning, Scott and I were working on Kittle to do some t-shirts and figure that out. Constant learning.
You have to be proud of your work, man. You've come so far as like, I wish I had the wherewithal to, like, you guys are able to put your head down and I'm going to learn HTML or something, whatever you guys are learning. I'm like, I just want to talk to people, record it, put it out there and hit play. The SEO thing, I really should take advantage of. I just never did any of that other stuff, you know, because it's like, everybody has different drivers for why they're doing it. And it's like, I wish I had a little bit more of a business or more of a goal-oriented savviness to it. Because I'd like it to grow to talk to more people, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, it sounds like you guys are come a long way, and it's cool to see the changes and that you're not afraid to make the changes, you know, even if it is a little later, you know, don't be afraid to pivot.
Well, wouldn't you agree, Scott? We were definitely pretty scared to make changes.
Oh yeah. Every time we're scared, but like you're saying, it's early. Like,
but it's because you care too, though. Like there's a reason you're scared, is because like you get the butterflies, right? He's like, I don't want to screw it up. It's a different scared than like, I'm going to fail. Right. It's more of like I don't want to lose what I have, but it's exciting regardless. There's still an excitement behind it, driving it.
Definitely.
Awesome, man. You guys have anything else you guys want to share before we call it a day?
Yeah, I mean, why is it that why do you want to do offstage, Scott? I'm curious. Like what gives your mind motivation? Like Mark, you were saying your motivation is you want to get your word out there and talk to as many people as possible, right? And
Well, I don't even want to get my word out. I want to ask a question to a person that's talked to a million other people, but they didn't get that question ever. That's my pursuit. If you watch there's some of the podcasts where I'm able to get the person, like you'll see an emotional response from the question I ask. Like there was a guy, the last one I did was a gentleman named Pinder Singh, and his last name's Singh. And he came across his faith, Sikhism, right? It's a type of religious faith. Well, it turns out like he didn't know about it. He finds it, and then as he researches and goes down the rabbit hole, like the fifth guru was like Singh, Singh, and like it's his last name. So like it just popped in my head, like, how did that hit you when you found that your last name is connected to this faith that somehow you came across? And like he had a visceral, like emotional, he paused because it like hit him, you know? And that's what I want to do. I want to be so curious that someone goes, you know, no one ever asked me that question before.
Yeah.
And that's what I want. I just wish I could do something. I would love to monetize it, because I do have like 200 freaking podcasts out there, you know? It's just I don't know how interesting other people are in listening to what I find interesting, you know. So
they definitely find it interesting. It's just you gotta break through. That's the hardest part.
Yeah. So why did you do it, Scott? What keeps you going, man?
I mean, it's obviously not money, because we are so deeply in the hole.
you guys have a longer term plan. You guys know that'll
well, turn around. Yeah. In fact, we're getting close
to breaking even.
Yeah.
He says it like we're deep in the hole, but $300 and then we're breaking even.
I guess that's
actually close. I don't know. We're kind of in the mix with our inventory right now. Sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
No, you're good. What keeps me going is the idea that we could fail at any moment. And I think a lot of people think we will. Specifically my roommates, they're very supportive, but it's like, it's almost like an out of pity support. And I don't know. That's a bit of a grudge. I'm a little competitive, and I cannot let this fail. Like, it's fun, and to be able to have fun and succeed at something is like everyone's goal in life. So
yes,
gotta keep it going.
Yeah. That's, you know, until you said it right there, kind of what you were saying, Mark, just a second ago, I didn't think about that. And there is something where when I talk about offstage to people, or like, yeah, I own a business and I'm in college and I run it with my best friend, you know, since I've known since I was little, they're always like, oh, that's cute. You know,
it's cute.
Like,
yeah.
Good for you guys. You know, I hope it works.
Pat on the head.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, good job, kid.
Yeah. And then we go do stuff like this and talk to people, or we go sell on the street, or I get a text from somebody I haven't talked to in like 5 years. And they're like, I just saw your ad and I bought a t-shirt out of nowhere, or like people randomly on the street and all they're with their family and like the parents want to buy a t-shirt and all the kids are going crazy. I don't know. That's just stuff where it's like, okay, yeah, people think this is cute and pat on the head, but no, there's definitely some real, there's something there.
Yeah, well, it is for you, though. See, that's the thing. Is like, this is your passion. It's not anyone else's.
Right,
to
right.
Right? So, like, it's yours to define, so that's ours to ask, right? What is the drive, you know?
Yeah.
Have you guys, totally. It just popped in my head. You guys should do I Was There and do, like, a spin eclipse. Like, do a total eclipse where spin is the moon. And maybe moon's the sun or something. Like, pulls down his pants or something. I don't know.
Let me tell you, we actually made a shirt like that.
Did you?
Yeah.
We took out the sticker.
There you go.
Oh, very cool.
You got the moon and then the sun in the background.
Oh, that is awesome. Nice.
Yeah.
Great minds think alike, guys. Great minds think alike. So
I wish thought about that about 2 months before the eclipse, but we were too much in the mix of figuring out what we were to getting set up. So, but it was fun to make the design, and Scott and I have some t-shirts. We sold a few t-shirts. People liked them.
That's really cool. I like that you actually did it. I've got ideas that I never actually implemented, you know what I mean? So it's one of those regret things, right? Never regret. You only regret things you don't do. You can make mistakes,
but
you can only regret
exactly
what ifs, right? What ifs are the regret.
That's where so part of running business is spending money. You spend money to make money. And Scott and I have a hard time organizing that. I think is the best way to put that.
Budgeting and all that kind of stuff is really hard.
Yes. Yes. And then on top of that, like, we try to use what we have already. I mean, that's one of the biggest things when you build a business, use what you already have and do what you can. So I have a lot of softwares that I use for school projects and stuff that I have and Scott doesn't have, or Scott has something and I don't have it. So it's just that has become, we've had to like combine our brains to make a lot of ideas and imagery happen. And I mean, today was a big step. We made it a level playing field for us to both be able to design now. And hopefully we can get a lot of, maybe not content out for apparel, if that makes
Very
sense.
Cool.
So a lot more product out.
Nice.
Cause I mean, My imagination is only going to go so far to communicate to Scott's, and Scott's idea of what is going to be good is, you know, something's going to get lost in translation.
Mm. Oh, for sure.
And that has happened already. So I think today was actually a big step in separating that so that we can be individuals and a team. And I think that's going to help us grow a lot quicker. I don't know if you think the same thing, Scott, but.
Yes, we need more. Our website's looking dry, and to be able to work on merch separately is just—it's going to help a lot.
That's really cool. I talked
to some guys last night at the bar. Oh, it's Grand Prix week at Purdue, so going out every night of the week is kind of a normal thing.
Yeah, I'm sure it's every night in Purdue. What else are you going to do?
Exactly, right. It's Purdue.
And we showed him my website. He was interested, and he kept looking at the same three shirts because we only have three shirts on the website. I was like, damn, we definitely need to have, we need to triple that soon.
Yeah. You need like 50 shirts. Yeah. Just all different ones. And the thing is, like, at some point I'm sure you're not going to have to worry about the demand piece, cause it'll be print on demand versus inventory kind of thing. And you'll have the logo. You just send them, do this one on a hunter green shirt. Boom, done, you know.
So that's how we do it right now. We do print on demand.
Oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, so you just need, like, kind of the ideas and the logos and all those pieces out there.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I would like to move to inventory when we have the opportunity. I think Scott would, I'm speaking for you, Scott, but I think he'd like to as well, because we can control the quality a little bit better.
Right. I agree. Yeah. I think you have to get, like, I did the whole t-shirt thing. I know, like, the Bella shirts and Bella canvas and the Nuva one or whatever. Then you know, there's another one out there. And I went down that whole thing, and it's like, it's pretty cool. Yeah, I do like that. It's just there's a lot more to that when you do the inventory part, but it is an exciting challenge for sure.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where we go.
Awesome.
I think there's definitely something there that we very don't nice, know man. What's there yet either. But
well, I think you'll bring some music people together is what it is, you know. So mm-hmm. You guys have any like plans to have to do like at concerts, just to have a table at concerts outside or anything, or walk like parking lots at concerts or?
Greta in a month.
Greta May 16th would be.
We're going to try to. I don't know if we're going to have a table. Maybe we should, you know, actually plan this instead of the Eclipse thing. But like, we're at least going to interview people, do street interviews.
Oh yeah, did you guys end up doing any of the street interviews? You guys mentioned that
we focused on primarily just getting the word out there during the Eclipse, which is, you know, we needed a first experience to do that, so I think we can gauge that now. But the hardest thing is, like, if we wanted to sell t-shirts at a concert, it's all inventory. I mean, it costs to get like 30 t-shirts, you're spending $700, you know. And it goes, you know, you buy 60, you buy 100. The cost per item goes down, but it's owning a small business is going to be, it's scary at the start. And like I said, you got to spend money to make money. So we're taking baby steps and it's working. So.
Right. And the biggest thing is you're taking steps. I mean,
yes.
How many people are sitting there playing video games right now, not strategizing, you know, their next move on taking over the world, right? Like, that's the way you got to look at it.
You're right. Yeah.
Well, I'm grateful you guys jumped on for a call, man. I mean, I was really happy to be on your show. You guys mentioned something weird about the recording. You guys said something about the recording I shared with you. Freaked some people out, I guess.
Yes.
Scott said
that. I think, I don't know if it was just, so I, what was I doing? I guess I was upstairs eating food. I usually am. And it was when you sent the email, like, with all the links to the different recordings. I'm like, oh, I'll check it out. And I didn't have my earbuds in. I'm playing it. And then everyone's, like, watching TV and just slowly turning their head, like, what is going on over there?
See, I listened to it on the car on the way to Florida. And everybody in the car was kind of like, oh. Yeah, and I had explained it to him. So we actually listened to our entire podcast on the way down.
Oh, cool.
Florida, and they loved it. Yeah.
Oh,
probably
cool.
Got some more viewers out of that, actually.
Maybe. I don't even know. It's funny. No one reaches out to me. And I, like, to your point, man, I don't have the SEO stuff. I internally, to your, like, the way you guys think is you guys know and are confident in what you can do. I'm confident in having a conversation with people. I feel really good, comfortable pretty much talking to anybody about anything. If that could translate somehow into some eyes or some ears, I'd be really happy to have that happen. Cause I think people would be like, oh, that is an interesting thing to talk about X, Y, or Z, you know? So, but we'll get there. But yeah. So like that, when you're there and then that thing, the static comes in, man, the first, when she handed me that disc and she's like, I'm sorry. And I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, I couldn't fix it. And I'm like, I have no idea what she's talking about. Right. So I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, here. She puts it in and hits play. And that thing goes, you are there. And then all of a sudden starts freaking out. I'm like, hairs on my arm stood up. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, I don't know. It's like 2 hours of just gibberish.
Have you ever seen the movie Contact?
Yeah. And with Jodie Foster.
I need to rewatch it again. But there's a part, like, when, you know, after they built the whole spaceship time travel thing, and when you were having that experience, at least when I was visualizing it, I was like, okay, that's what it did. It
was like a portal, right? Where it went to white noise for a bit and it was just absolute noise. And then you kind of came back while this other stuff was going on. Yeah. And it's really interesting because I was lucid during the conversation. I could tell you the things I said, and it was weird what I was saying, but I remember saying it. You know, I was just really relaxed. I just wish that it had gotten recorded so you could hear me say what I said to show how crazy I truly am. now they just have to, you know, take it from all
take
the podcasts.
Your word for it. Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. So, but yeah, so I'm so glad you could join me, gentlemen. I know you guys have some work to do coming up here. So Any yes. Final thoughts? Anything else you want to share? Or, any, you know, doors always open. Anytime you guys want to talk, you know, feel free to.
Oh yeah.
I mean, we'll schedule a wrong again. Time again.
Yes.
We can't get this time zone stuff right. I swear, it's on. It's difficult. I take full accountability, man.
It's our fault.
All too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
it's so hard. It's hard to get the. If only we could be on one time zone, right? That is not great. How it works.
Yeah. So any parting thoughts there, Scott or Lee?
No. Thanks for having us on. Check out off-staged.com. We're gonna have a lot more apparel on the site. Music unite you. Yeah.
Yes.
There you go.
Is that the slogan? Let music unite you.
I don't know. That could be a new one.
All right. Let's work it out. How about this? Music unites.
Music unites. Yeah, that'd be good.
You can remember it.
Right now we have.
Yeah, it's even shorter. You know what I mean? Like versus like let music unite you is like a passive thing. Mm. This is like an active thing. Music unites.
There you go. Okay.
So
we can put that on a t-shirt.
We can work on these all day, guys.
Yeah.
All right, Scott, anything else you want to say before we call it a day, my friend?
Let me think of some wisdom real quick.
Some Confucius?
Oh, okay. If you're on the toilet, and this is a real thing, by the way.
Some people might be on the toilet right now watching a podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want to hear what popped into my head right before you said that?
Oh, geez.
This is the psychic part. I was just going to say something like Confucius, man who stand on toilet high on pot. I swear to God I was going to say that. No. I'm not joking. That's like the toilet thing popped in my head. So please share, because obviously you had to share whatever it was.
It's not related to pot, but it is related to China, actually. So you know what a ghost poop is?
Nope.
It's where
you wipe and there's nothing on the toilet the toilet paper. Yeah.
So anytime that happens, someone in China has to wipe twice as much. So just keep that in mind. Every time you're grateful for it, like there's always a balance, I guess I should say.
I have a whole ideology around the poop.
Oh.
I've got names for all different kinds, and there's the thing called the karma. It's the one where the next one, like say the first one's a ghost one and you're like
the
grateful,
next
right?
One's the
karma one
shit.
Is the one that's just a mess. You're just going to be there with a wet mop sticking it all up in there. And anyway. All right. That was really bad to leave on, but all right. Can we leave on something a little bit later than that? All right. So we've got, once again, we've got Lee and Scott from off-stage.com. Is that right, gentlemen?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Music apparel, let music unite you, or music unites. One of those. You've got spin and you've got scratch. Was it a chicken with a hat?
Yes.
All right. Well, you got to get one of those up on the website because I want to check that out. So,
I mean, we will do. We should be able to now. So,
yeah.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining another Not Conscious. I'm going to hit stop here. Just stay on. But thank you so much. I'm really grateful that you could share your story with us and like all your victories, man. Share them with me. I'd love to tell everybody how you're doing.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you again, guys. Have a great day. Take care.
1, 2, 3, 4. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, but I really must say good night, sweetheart. Good night.